Several years ago, a tourist traveling in Paris went into a trinket shop, and while he was there, he found what appeared to be an inexpensive amber necklace and thought it was lovely, thought his wife might appreciate it, and so he packed it up and brought it home. And when he got to customs, they really kind of gave him a hard time about it and charged him an exorbitant duty tax on it. It perplexed him, made him a little bit angry because he paid more in duty tax than he actually paid for the little amber necklace, but it did arouse his curiosity, and so he thought, let me take this thing to somebody and have it appraised. Upon looking at the object under a jeweler's loop, the man immediately offered him $25,000 for it. He began to scratch his head, and he thought, if this guy's willing to offer me $25,000 for it, there's got to be more to it than meets the eye. And so he took it to a museum curator, and a museum curator offered him $35,000 for it. And in his joy and delight and great surprise, he asked the guy, I paid change for this thing out of my pocket. What in the world is it about this particular amber necklace that makes it so valuable? The museum curator handed him the loop and told him to turn it over on the back, and around the band where the amber stones were held in was an inscription that read, "To my Josephine, love Napoleon." Value of the necklace came from its identification with two famous people. The materials that made it up were not intrinsically expensive, but the ownership of who had it made it valuable. I want to talk to you today about who am I. And I want you to know and hear and understand when we're done today that if you have made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, you are valuable. Regardless of what you feel, regardless of what others may told you, there is a value that is associated with you. Value is usually determined by a couple of things. Who owned something and what someone was willing to pay for something. And through the sacrificial gift of Jesus' death, we talked about this last week when we asked, who am I? You are made acceptable. You are brought into part of the group. You are made part of the crowd. You are one among many other brothers and sisters who have chosen to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, and you're now part of God's family. You are accepted into the whole, the family structure. And when God accepts you into His family, that tells you a little bit about who you are. Now you belong to God. You don't belong to the world. But when we consider the question, who am I? Not only can I safely tell you that you are accepted by God because of Jesus Christ, but I can also tell you that you are valuable. Not just part of the collective, not just one among many, but you are unique and precious and valuable because of who owns you, because of the price that was paid for you. Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, and the church of Corinth was one of those churches that really needed to understand their value because the church at Corinth had tried all kinds of ridiculous things in their worship practices to bring sensationalism into what was going on. And Paul tried to get them back to the basics of understanding who they were. And he tells them in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians that you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. One chapter later, he says, God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. And I want you to understand this morning that while being accepted is wonderful, being valued is even better. We all want to be accepted. We all want to have some place to belong. We all want to have a sense of connectedness and a sense of identity. And as long as we have that, we tend to be okay. But to be valued in the group where we are accepted, oh, that does something to us. That gives us buy-in that just being accepted doesn't always give us. And so God wants you to know this morning that not only are you accepted, but that you are valued. That's who you are. You are valuable. And you're not just kind of valuable. You're extremely valuable. In fact, You're priceless. You are His masterpiece. You are His masterpiece. I was reading one of my favorite theologians. Basically, he was a Sunday school teacher extraordinaire. His name was Herschel Hobbes. Herschel Hobbes was reminding me as a pastor that one of my primary responsibilities is to continue the process of reminding the flock and how much they are loved and valued by God. I want you to know and understand today that not only are you accepted by God, but that you are valuable to Him. Last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be there this week and for the next 3 weeks. We're just going to kind of take it snippets by snippet. Last week we looked at verse 9. But you, and the you is made up of me and we and us. We are a chosen people, accepted. We're brought into that family. But the last part of that verse, the part we want to talk about today, says you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You are royal. You are holy. A people belonging to God. These words are words that are set us apart kind of words. They are also words that elevate us kind of words. What does that mean? Well, it speaks directly to your value. We refer to the Scripture as the Holy Bible. Why? Because holy speaks of its value, its set-asideness, its elevatedness. We talk about the land of Jesus' birth as the Holy Land. Why? Because it's set apart, it's unique, it's elevated. We talk about the Holy of Holies. Why? Because it's unique, it's set apart, it's elevated. Anything that is holy is considered more than normal. Peter writes these words, you are royal, you are holy, you are more than normal. What I need you to do beginning today is I need you to stop playing the old tapes and the old messages in your mind that tell you that you're just average. Because in God's eyes, you are not just average. You are above average. You are royal. You are holy. And that's your true identity. You say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't diminish the fact that it's made it so. You are valuable. Extremely valuable. That's your true identity. And your value is to the extreme that you are priceless. You're priceless. There's only one you. And God made you to be just who you are. So if your value is determined by who owns you, and if your value is determined by the price that is paid for you, then I need you to take consideration of what your value really is. You've heard the phrase, this is why we can't have nice things. We'll think we've done our research. We think we've read all the reviews that we can possibly read. We go out to make a purchase, and we bring our purchase back, and we don't set it up right, or we don't hook it up right, or we drop it, or something happens, and then it's damaged, and you make the statement, this is why we can't have nice things. God never considers that when He considers you. You were owned by the King of Kings. He paid for you with His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that if you would believe in Him, and if you would believe in the redemptive work that He did on the cross, and if you would believe in the power of the empty tomb, then not only are you accepted by God, but you are valuable, of great value, to the King of Kings. In the Old Testament, I so appreciated the passage that Paula read this morning. There's a parallel in Deuteronomy that follows that. Deuteronomy chapter 7, you, which is you, and me, which is we, which is us, are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be his own, look at those two words, special treasure. When God looks at you, he sees you as a treasured possession. And nobody will value you more than your Father does. Your heavenly Father. Nobody. Isaiah 43 reminds us that you are precious to me. You're precious to him. Well, how is that possible? How is this value possible? Let me give you a couple of ways. My value is secure because God is my Father. He is like no one else. He is like no other. He is the highest of high. He is the mightiest of mighty. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And if God is my Father, then that means I own part of the family inheritance. One day in heaven, he's going to share with me and with you all of the glories that he has to offer. All of the treasures and the majesty that the universe has to offer is yours. Why? It's not just because you're accepted, but because you're valued. And that value is secure because God is the Father. He is the great unchangeable. He tells us that he does not change. He cannot lie. And you are one of his nice things. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people that belong to him. You are valuable. Everybody's created by God, but not everybody's a child of God. Let me make sure you understand this. Everybody is loved by God. But you and I have to choose to be in God's family. We have to choose to love him back. And I'm sad to say that a lot of people won't be in God's family because they've never made their conscious decision to trust the Father who sent his Son to take away their sin. But for those of you who have made that choice, I want you to be encouraged this morning that what the Father values, the Father cares for. In the world in which we live, it may not feel like you are very cared for right now. You may not feel cared for a variety of reasons. But if God is God, and if he is who he says he is, and if he does what he says he does, and if he cannot lie, then we have to take Jesus at his words when he tells us about how God cares for what he values. Jesus speaks in Luke chapter 12 to the disciples and the onlookers that were gathered. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of those sparrows is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Later in the same chapter, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow. They do not reap. They have no storeroom. They have no barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds?" You see, I can be secure in the fact that I am valued by God because God takes care of what is valuable to him. My value is secure because God is my Father. But my value is also secure because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price that the Father asked him to make me valuable. When I was in seminary, and I may have told you this story before, we were with Dr. William David Kirkpatrick, He was our systematic theology professor. And it was always interesting that there was one or two people in the class that thought they knew more about God and God's will and the power of God and systematic theology than Dr. Kirkpatrick did. And there was a classmate of mine that sat right here on the front row. And Dr. Kirkpatrick was talking about the value of Jesus being the one to die on the cross and resurrected from the grave to save us from the sin in our life. Raises his hand. And in this hyper-spiritual tone, he says, "But Dr. Kirkpatrick, God being God, he could have rescued us and saved us in any way he chose." Dr. Kirkpatrick was a meek man, but you could see his countenance began to change, and his face began to get red, and a big vein began to bulge out right here in his forehead. And he looked at this young man, and he picked up both of his hands, and he went, "No." And then he went on a 15-minute diatribe of how there was no other way, Jesus was the only answer, and Jesus is the only hope. And then he concluded his speech by saying, "If Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine, but God really had another plan, then God owes Jesus an apology. There was no other way." What that does show is that I am valuable. And at the Father's request, remember John chapter 17? Jesus is praying in the garden and he says, "Father, if there is another way, got to happen. I know what's coming and I don't know if I want to do this. But it's not about what I want. It's about what you want." And so at the Father's request, Jesus became my sin sacrifice and my sin substitute. And a lot of people will say, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm no good, I'm junk, I can't seem to get my act together and get my life back on track. Look, Jesus didn't die for junk, and you're not junk, and you've got to stop saying that. You've got to stop thinking of yourself as something less. If you want to know what you are worth, I need you to look at the cross. If you want to know what you're worth, I need you to look at the empty tomb. When he raised his hands on the cross and was nailed there, he says, "This is how much you're worth." He says, "I would rather die for you than live without you, because you're valuable. You are valuable to me and I will pay the price. You are valuable to my Father and I will pay the price." The greatest ransom ever paid in the history of humanity was paid to buy you back into the presence of God. And Jesus Christ did that so that you wouldn't have to. God made that sacrifice so that you could be accepted by Him and a valuable treasure, holy, in His presence and in His sight. Christ gave His life for you. It was the greatest ransom ever paid. Let me take some liberties this morning with John 3:16, if I might. You know the verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life." Let me talk to you for a minute about the greatness of that sacrifice. The greatness of that ransom. The first word is God, the greatest one. So loved, the greatest degree. The world, the greatest amount of people. That He gave, the greatest generosity. His only begotten Son, the greatest uniqueness. That whosoever, the greatest invitation. Believeth in Him, the greatest simplicity. Should not, the greatest certainty, perish, the greatest possible loss, but the greatest difference, have the greatest possession, eternal, the greatest length, life, the greatest gift, because you're valuable. All this was done because you are of the greatest value. Maybe during this season of uncertainty, Maybe during this season of chaos, you have forgotten your value. Maybe you once believed the narrative, but you've walked away. Let me ask you to view it again today, fresh and new. I'm going to have the band come. They're going to sing. I want to encourage you to not turn off the live stream in this moment. But instead, I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, to get on your knees and ask God through the presence of His Holy Spirit to remind you and to convict you and to overwhelm you with the truth of who you are. The truth that you are valuable. Let me pray with us. Father, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You were singing over us. You've been so, so good to us. Before we took a breath, you breathed life in us. You've been so, so kind to us. I was your foe. Still, your love fought for me. You've been so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so kind to me. Oh, Father, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love that you possess. It has chased me down. It fought until I was found. It left the 99. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't deserve it. And still, you gave yourself away through your Son. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Break through now and convince each of us of our value, because you are our Father, and because Christ paid the price, we ask in His great name, amen. Kneel where you are, sing, and talk to God about your value.